Well, I taught at the 8:30 service, and it's really hard for me to dissociate my mind and go in another direction when he has me on a certain path. I kept trying to do it, and it's not going to happen. So I'm going to do hopefully I'm still the master of synopsis. I'm going to try and get us going down that path again and go a little farther. I'm really excited about what's coming. I really am. I don't have words. I remember Dave, he used to say this a lot. I know it's still true. He says, listen, if what we have now is all we're ever going to have, just kill me now. If we're not going to have revival, and the kind where the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and I don't mean on occasion. I don't mean on occasion once in a while, here and there. But I mean on a regular basis, like we went through that time through Matthew and just showed those five different meetings of his where they came by the multitudes, tens of thousands. It says bringing all manner of sick folks, all manner of tormented, even the insane. And he healed them. Healed them all, you know. That's where we're going. If I didn't believe that, just kill me now. With all of my being, I believe that. And at the same time, I also believe God's not going to change. His word is not going to change. The devil is not going to change. Who does that leave? Let's see now. Who would that leave? Moi? Me? Oh, my goodness. Well, the good news is we can change. We can change. Yes, sir. Okay, we're going to do it a whole different way. We're going to capsule this morning's message and then launch into something. This morning he was really talking about bringing the soul to the place of subservience. I don't use that word. He used it. I had to look it up. He's trying to make our soul become the servant that he designed it to be. When man fell and his spirit went from life to death, from righteousness to sin, when man fell and his spirit, let's say it this way, when the candle of the Lord went dark, the spirit of man went dark. Man had that potential for evil with no restraint. David said it many times in his teachings to us, thank God for your mom and dad if they beat an artificial conscience into you to teach you right and wrong. Because without that, every single person born of a mother, born of the mother's womb on earth, has the potential to be another Hitler because you receive that same death nature. So we were all trained to live by our soul, the information in it, the memories in it, such as if you lie, you get a whooping. If you steal, bad things happen to you. You know, those kind of things that were artificially put in us. We learned through that process, through the strength of our intellect, our will, our mind, our logic, our reasoning, and all of those things, how to lead our life, to restrain that sin nature. So, in my case, I was 33 years old when I really got saved. So for 33 years, I was trained in a fallen world by a dead spirit. Doesn't that set you up for success? You know? And what's funny, we were pretty successful in the world system. People actually looked up to Sue and I at the time. They thought our marriage was good. And we had both already been through some hard times in marriage. And we were really trying to make our marriage work. But we were just sinners. We would never have survived it, I don't think, without the Lord. But according to the world system, we had we were living in the right kind of a house in the right part of town. Both of us drove new Cadillac cars. We had pretty good clothes. And in the world, it looked like we were doing okay, but we were deader than a hammer, just dead as a doornail on the inside, both of us. But I say that to say this, both of us, we were highly trained in our soul, how to function in this world. And we did a fair job of restraining our spirit to at least what we thought was evil. We thought some things were not evil. Getting drunk on Friday night to Gary. Now, Sue never got drunk. I never seen Sue drunk in my life. She has seen Gary drunk a lot. I used to get drunk to go drinking. I mean, I was already drunk before I left the house. Oh, God, we don't even visit those days, you know. Okay? But see, then when you get saved, that life is not imparted to your soul. It's imparted to your spirit. Your candle is lit again. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And that life, that nature of God, that flow of power is restored through your spirit, not the soul. The soul does not get born again. Don't you wish it did? See, we're not ever told that he rebirths your soul. He says, no, we have to work on our soul. That you'd be no longer conformed to this world, but that you'd be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is part of the soul. But your spirit got born again. So all of a sudden now, let's take Gary, for 33 years, I am highly trained, God, how to restrain my spirit. I know one thing I know how to do, pull that spirit back. That's why when I get mad, I don't kill people. Because without that governing of the soul, I would. You know, if I could figure out a way to do it and not get caught. Hey, let's just tell the truth, okay? You know, before you get saved, you're dead, boy. I'm telling you now, you're dead. And won't even put a marker where your grave is. You know? Well, so I'm highly trained, God. It's a good thing you chose me for your kingdom. Because I am really good at restraining my spirit. So then you get born again. Whamazama. Swoosh. All of a sudden, your spirit goes from darkness to light, from death to life. And your soul is the same old soul that it was before. Now God says, okay, live by your spirit. And you're going, what? My soul doesn't know how to do that. In fact, at the very beginning, okay, oh, he's always not so nice to me and nice to you. I still remember the war from the first week. Now, we're talking after the first 3 days, I had a war of my life just to believe I was really saved. You know, we're going past there. Okay, now you got to understand who Gary was. I got saved. I really got saved. I really did. You looking from the outside might not have known it. Because my soul had not caught up at all with what had happened in my spirit. I would sit there. Sue knows this to be true. Instantly, all my motivation, which before was always make money, do good, be prosperous, have the right stuff. No, 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 no. I was a driven man, boy. I mean, I'd go, go, go. And I lost in an instant. I didn't want to go to work anymore. I didn't care about making money anymore. All I wanted to do was read my Bible. Now, that's a pendulum swing too far, man. I'm just describing the truth to you what happened, okay? She can tell you, I'd get up, I had bedhead. Didn't even really want to just put on my robe, go in there and open up my Bible. And after about 10 o'clock in the morning, I'd start sipping my bourbon and Coke. Go ahead, you Pentecostals, laugh. Go ahead. Gasp. You what? Yep, reading my Bible. Sipping my bourbon and Coke, smoking my cigarettes, crying like a baby, not understanding hardly anything I was reading. But I'd read it, and my tears would flow from my eyes, and I didn't know why. I tell you right now, I feel sorry for somebody who would judge me in those first 2 weeks, looking at the outside. Because on the inside, me and Jesus had a thing going on, I'm telling you. And I remember those promptings from that new nature that started coming up. I didn't understand it. It started coming up in me. And it would say things like, you need to get the pornography out of the house. And my soul would go, what? Now, my soul is not born again. My soul started giving me all these reasons why that should not happen. First off, we had a lot of money invested in it. I did. Had a lot of money. I've been saving. I've been making this collection for years. I know this, I know. None of you have ever struggled with anything, I know. Gossip or nothing. Different folks have different strongholds. Get over yourself. Okay. Anyhow, my soul started, it had all these reasonings. I mean, I can see that those two beings on the inside of me conversating. Talking. Conversating. I don't know, talking. One of them's going, get the pornography out of the house. The other one's going, are you crazy? We've got hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. You've been working on this for many years. You know, get it out, boy. Then you talk about lack of peace. This turmoil was on the inside of me. I couldn't get any rest from it. It just kept coming. I'd try and get away from it, do anything else, sip on my bourbon and coke, smoke another pack. There it was again. Get the pornography out of the house. Get it out of the house. Get it out, get it out, get it out. The arguing going on. My soul wasn't renewed. But finally, it had to go. I had to have peace. I couldn't stand it anymore. Loaded them all up into these trash bags and away they went. Oh, glad that's over. I'm glad I'm perfect now. Now, somewhere in the midst of, he never did really, that I remember, say one iota to me about the drinking. I don't really remember anything. I'm searching right now. I don't remember that. I do remember going to bed, having been a virtual alcoholic, if not a complete alcoholic, for 10 years. I do remember going to bed like that, loving Jesus, drank all day, loving Jesus, reading my Bible. I went to bed in that condition. I don't remember even praying about it. And I remember waking up the next morning sober, first really sober day I'd had in a long time. And nothing in me wanted to drink anymore. And that was over 30 years ago, and I've never had a drink since. Not a withdrawal one. He can do that. Trust me, he did not do that when it came to cigarettes. We'll get to that one later. Okay. So anyway, there's two major strongholds gone. One of them was a real war. Then, now this one, I'm not trying to put my burdens over onto you. This may not be an idol in your life, but it was in my life. Sue and I, we loved rock and roll music. Now, and he lets me have some of it today. After the service, you want to hear some Bad Company, I got it on my iPhone, okay? He lets me have some today. But see, in those days, it was an absolute idol. I mean, if I was awake, I was listening to it all the time. You know, before I got saved, I'm talking about. All the time, all the time, all the time. And he started dealing with me. Now, this may not be something he ever deals with you about, but with me, you got to get it out of the house. Same, here we go again. What? Get it out of the house. Here we go again. There was a conflict between two persons. Let me just say it that way for now. On the inside of me, there's these two people. It's a new nature and my soul, which is part of the flesh. And I can still remember it. Same deal again. My soul goes, do you have any idea how much money we have invested in these LPs? This is becoming a classic. I mean, we had LPs, you know, I'm dating myself now. LP for you youngsters are records about this big, okay? Long playing. LP stands for long playing, not the little 45s, okay? I really date myself and talk about the 8-tracks I had to throw away, but anyway. We're really dating ourselves. Before that, there was 4-tracks. How many remember the 4-tracks? Oh, my God. The day has arrived. Anyway, I couldn't get any peace again. Here it come, all the time, get it out of the house, get it out of the house. And there's this war going on. Well, finally he won that one again, see. Can I say it this way? The new nature had come to possess the promised land. The promised land was my soul. Can I say it that way? That's okay for today. He come to possess me. Not only in my spirit. He'd already done that. He came to possess me spirit, soul, and body. Now, I would never have said it this way then. I didn't understand it. What was happening there? My soul was being renewed to the mind of Christ. See, Christ and pornography are never going to get along. Christ and drunkenness are never going to get along. Christ and idols of any kind. It wasn't the music. It was the fact that it was an idol. And it had to go. And I'll go ahead and tell you the rest of it. Most of you have heard it. Even the day that we got rid of all the LPs, I hid one. I don't know what I was thinking. What are you thinking when you do that? He won't know? I loved my Bad Company album. You old rock and rollers, the black one with the white letters. You know which one I mean. I hid it. I forgot that I hid it. I never listened to it again, but I hid it away. And I didn't rediscover it till we moved. Then I saw it. I was so embarrassed. I said, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I got rid of that one too. You know. And for almost 20 years, we didn't really have anything in the house to even listen to music on. See, it was an idol in our case. It may not be in your case at all. And after a long time, he lets me listen to some of it now. It's okay, but it's not an idol anymore. Doesn't take any place of power in my life at all now, see. Now, the point of that is this. We're going into revival. I know each and every one of you could stand up here, and hopefully you weren't as much sinners as Sue and I was when you got saved, but each of you could give a testimony similar to that of things in your life that got purged. And that's wonderful. And I think most Christians, spirit-filled or not, see, because that's the power of the new nature. That's the power of the new nature that causes that to happen. Spirit-filled or not could stand up and give similar testimony. But where we are going now, see, where we're going now is into that realm of the supernatural. You think your soul had problems with getting rid of sin? What was a service I did recently where Jesus walked on the water? Now, let's just put you there. God's been using you all day long. You've been healing the sick and feeding the poor, and you sent them away. You decided you're going to go pray on the mountain and be alone for a while, so you sent your disciples away, and they crossed over the Sea of Galilee. And they're gone. They've been gone for hours. In fact, it was evening time when you sent them away, and now it's the fourth watch of the night. That means between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Is it dark at 3 a.m.? And it says that the winds were contrary that night. Remember, the waves were contrary, the wind. So there was a windstorm, which probably means there was no moon. They were obscured by clouds. I don't know if it was raining or not, but there was a windstorm. And suddenly, somewhere in that fourth watch of the night, the Spirit of the Lord says to you, well, now I want you to cross over. Cross over to the other side. And your soul says, what's the first thing the natural man looks for? Where is the boat? Don't you? I'm happy to obey you, Lord, as long as the means are natural. Sure. Yeah. Where's the boat? There's no spare boat. But all my disciples are gone. I know Jesus didn't think this way. I'm putting Gary there. Okay? You understand? Not putting you there. Putting Gary there. My natural tendency, where's the boat? Where's the natural me? I'm happy to obey you as long as there's a natural, reasonable, rational way to do that. I'm looking for the boat, Lord. Must be a spare boat left here somewhere. Nope, no boat. Now, I did my research. At that point where Jesus walked across the Sea of Galilee, it's 5 miles across right there. In broad daylight with perfect conditions, the sight line to the horizon on water is 2.9 miles there. It says the disciples were midway across the sea, so they're just out of sight. It's dark, really dark. No moon. Wind in your face. You're at the water's edge. And he says, go across. You've already looked to the left and the right. No boat. The winds are contrary. I don't know how high was the surf right there. What do you wave? Do you step on a crest or on a valley? You know, it's what? See, our mind just goes tilt right there, doesn't it? And he says, step out on the water. And if you obey him in the dark where you cannot see where you're going, does this remind you of an Abraham? He spoke to Abraham, I want you to leave this land and go to unto a land I shall show you? Well, we're going to a land that he shall show us. But he's requiring us, I'm telling you right now, to step out in faith. We don't have anyone ahead of us really we can look at. We can just barely see the other side through his word. That's all we really know is what he says here. And he's calling us, step out on the water. And when Jesus did, I haven't seen a movie. I don't know whether the water became still under his feet or whether he went up and down. I don't know. But what does it matter? He went walking across the water. And the amazing thing is, he didn't lose his way. He came in the dark with no compass, no navigation tools at all. He comes right to where the disciples are struggling in the boat. Comes right to that place. Perfect guidance. With nothing in the natural to see. Nothing. And he comes right to the place where they are. Of course, they're scared. We think it's a ghost. He said, no, it's me. Don't be afraid. Then Peter says, if it's you, bid me come. I can just see Jesus. Well, it's me. Come. Now notice nobody else got out of the boat. Why? They didn't have a word from God. Peter had a word from God. He said, come. Based on that word now, see this, God, I'm so glad this is in there. If this part wasn't in there, then we might think, like my beloved Baptist daddy said, you know, I'd read to him out of John, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father. And he'd read it out of his own Bible and look right at me and go, only Jesus can do that. Well, if we didn't have this next part, we'd say, only Jesus can do those things, see. But when Peter got a word from God, he stepped out of the boat. He walked on the water. And the water held him up too. I'm telling you, I don't care what the circumstances are, your circumstances will obey the word of the living God. The water will hold you up. And as long as Peter kept his eyes fixed right on Jesus, and as long as he obeyed the word he got from Jesus, it says Peter walked on the water. And so will we. We're coming to that place where the soul... Now, Peter wasn't even born again yet. What do you reckon his soul had some arguments? You know how fast thoughts can come to you? Man, you hear a word from God... Anything. I remember that time. Yes, sir. Okay. I remember that time we were talking to Sid Roth. And I didn't get to talk to him personally, but talking to one of his managers on the phone. They were inviting us to come. And usually at the end, if you don't know Sid Roth's program, he has a television program called It's Supernatural or something like that. And it got an audience of millions of people around the world, you know. And they were inviting us to come quite a few years ago. And I was talking with the manager on the phone. And at the end of that program, normally they offer a book or a tape or something of whoever the guest was for sale. And then they get a part and you get a part, you know. So she was asking me about something, you know, do you have any cassettes or anything we could sell? And I said, well, our instructions, we're not allowed to sell anything. See, that was my voice on the water. That was my instruction. Don't sell anything. Give everything away free. So I said, no. No, I don't have anything for sale. I said, we give everything away free. I guess I could offer a couple of cassette tapes for free, if that'd be okay. Boy, there was this pause on the phone. I always know I'm in trouble when I hear this word. Now, Reverend Carpenter. When you hear that word, Reverend, get ready. It's coming. You know? Reverend Carpenter. Are you aware that the Sid Roth program is broadcast? And I can't remember now. She started telling me so many million in Europe, so many million in South America, so many million in North America. And here's the question. Are you really ready to offer to send for free two of your cassette tapes to that many million people? Now, I want to tell you, don't tell me 1,000 thoughts cannot come at once. My soul, see... Basically, I'm being The opportunity is to step out of the boat. Okay? 1,000 voices. Here's what it sounded like on the inside of my head. No, I'm not ready to do that. Do you think I'm crazy? You think I just fell off the turnip truck? We're just barely making it as it is. I can barely pay our payroll. What's wrong with you? No, we're not going to do that. And about 1,000 more just like that. Real quick. Like machine gun bullets. See, I'd learned, I'd trained myself to hear the voice of the Lord. You know what he said? Let me rephrase her question. Mr. Carpenter? No, Reverend Carpenter. Are you really ready to offer your 2 cassette tapes for free to that many million people? Now, there was a long pause while all these thoughts were coming. But here's the answer I gave, because it's what I heard. My Father says he can afford it. Click. I hung up before I could say anything else. Now, you think my soul just rested in complete peace? I went running to find Sue. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. You're never going to believe what I did. Oh, God, I think I missed it. Oh, God, we're going down. We're going down. I don't know if it's exactly like that. That's the way I felt anyway. Anyway, Sue has this wonderful ability to steady the ship, you know. But I told that story last time about how we got into debt and how God supernaturally, we just kept obeying his word. See, and as long as we kept our eyes on him. Yeah, it got really bad. The circumstances got really bad. You talk about the wind contrary. We went $47,000 in debt after that. Everyone say, it's good for you. Just say, $47,000 in debt. Don't tell me the waves can't get contrary. And I would pray, and the silence was deafening, boy, just deafening. And I told his testimony at length last time, but he got us out of that situation in 1 year. We didn't have to do a single thing except obey what he had already told us. The reason that the silence was deafening, I didn't need a new word from God. I needed to obey the word I already had from God. And he did exactly what he said he would do. And he got us out of that situation. Amen. We've never been back in debt since. Well, praise God for that. Now that's called, the reason for all of this, our soul has to progressively become transformed to the mind of Christ. We have to think like he thinks. Even when it comes to, quote, impossible things, like stepping out in the dark where you can't see where you're going, on the water, and trusting him, not only will you not drown, but he will get you to where he wants you to go on the other side. Amen? Now, go ahead and put a marker in effect. Just go ahead and turn. No. Yes. Turn to Luke 14. We'll start there, and then put a marker in Proverbs 8. Now, I've been preaching on this for a while, which is crucifying the flesh and love not your life and that type of thing. But there's such a practical reason why he's having me teach that. It's not to be religious. It's not to make us... the last thing I want is to become... holier than thou, rigid, self-righteous, judgmental, stick-in-the-mud, powerless Christians. That is not where he's bringing us. He is bringing us to a life of adventure, a life where every day, I pray it never becomes, oh God, it's Sunday, I have to go to church again. No, to where it's, I can't wait to get ready and go to church. I wonder what he's going to do today. How many blind eyes are going to open? How many little kids are going to throw down those crutches and run off? That's where he's bringing us, see. But he's had one here and he's had one there in the past where he would be able to manifest his power through the gifts. But most of the time, not always, but most of the time, there were still enough residual handles and non-conformity of the soul to the mind of Christ that the enemy was able to come in and cause damage and destruction to the body. The body of Christ, he means. What he's after is a purging of a people. A people. To the point, the handles, the enemy is going to come. But when he comes, he finds no handle. He finds nothing he can twist or turn to move us away from the purity of following the risen Christ. God, that was good right there. So in Luke, yes, sir. God, I'm understanding. Now, it is no coincidence. Do y'all like the laws of meditation? One of my favorite teachings of Pastor Dave is when he teaches about how God exalts in Luke 14. So let's just read that first, okay? And most of you will remember the teaching, how God exalts a person. Starting in verse 7, he put forth a parable to those which were bidden when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms. And that's the normal human condition. You choose out what's best for you. You always try and put yourself in the best light and always try and... We talked about that a little bit with Moses. Moses, he had a knowing that he was called of God to deliver his people. But when he was in his prime, and he's about 40, he took it upon himself to figure out how to do that. And so he went out and he slew the Egyptian. Remember that? This is all from the 830 service. And he found out real quick that wasn't God's way to do it. And he had to spend 40 years on the backside of the desert before his soul came to the place of meekness where he would obey what God said. Later on, when God appeared to him in the burning bush and told him, I'm going to use you to deliver my people. Remember what he said then? Who am I? His soul had gone through a complete transformation. Who am I? God says, he didn't say it in these words, you're the vessel I'm going to use. Well, that's this morning's service. You ought to get that. But see, in the beginning, he was like choosing out the chief room. I know God's called me to deliver. Yes, I know how to do this. So in verse 8, he says, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, friend, when he that called thee, when he comes, and he calls you friend, and he says, go up higher, you are going up higher then. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. What he means by that, you won't have to go around putting in a title with your name. That's not wrong, I guess, to do that if it's in the right spirit. Paul says, I am Paul, an apostle of God, not by the will of man, but by the will of God. But there's a lot of them going around. They demand you call them apostle because they have self-exalted themselves to a position that God did not. Call me Prophet Jones. Call me this. All I want you to call me is in time for supper. Call me in time for supper. That's all I got. But see, when God comes and exalts you, people will be able to tell. Even those that, the way it's said, those that sit at meat with you, your closest circle, people that know you the best, they'll be able to tell. You're not the same. Who was it? I can't remember now. One of them says, preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. Your life will become. I'm thinking right now of Smith Wigglesworth getting on that train. He's just getting on the train. He's not preaching. He's not doing anything. He's sitting on the train. God had so exalted that man. The presence of God was so strong. People sitting nearby. Sir, you convict me of sin. What must I do to be saved? God, give us those days again. God, give us those days. Make us into those kind of vessels where the glory can't be restrained by this flesh anymore. Where emanates beyond us, even just like that woman that she just came and touched the hem of his garment. And the presence and the power of God was so strong. It just flowed out into her. God, I'm excited about what's coming. So he's teaching here, the way up in the kingdom of God is the way down. You choose to take the lowest room. And if you've listened to Dave's teachings, how would you do that? And he goes through all of the administrations and all of the gifts of the Spirit and all of the things. The lowest place, the foundation on which everything else rests, is praying in other tongues. That's universal for everybody. Every believer should have that ability to pray in other tongues, to edify themselves, to begin praying out the mysteries of God. Instead of you deciding who you are and what you should be, how about you just take the lowest room? How does Dave say it? Epoxy your britches to a chair somewhere. Start allowing the Holy Ghost to pray God's mind through you. And little by little, your mind catches on to the mind of Christ. And eventually, and it's in stages, I've seen that, it's in stages, he will begin to come and promote you. Now, that's been going on in this church for years. We've known that. I thank God for the handles that no longer control me. Now, Gary, are you handleless? You must be talking about some other Gary. No, there's handles in there. What are they? They're none of your business. I'm not asking about your handles, okay? But I thank God for the ones, you know, that have been gone. But what he's after is for us not to quit. Coasting is the devil's plan. You just might as well know that. Where you are now, that's where you're staying. That's the devil's plan. That's his gospel to you. Yeah, you've made some progress where you are. I'm going to get your life. I'm not looking at anybody now. I'm going to get your life so full of busyness and activities and good, even if they're good things, like ministry. You know, you got to answer 67 emails and you got all these letters and you got all or problems, a dishwasher, the dryer, the car, the kids, the cat, the dog, the neighbor, the whatever. I'm going to get you so busy, you just be begging for supper, much less have time to go pray. Got to just have a moment of quiet, because his plan, wherever you are right now, is to coast you to the end of your life, and yours truly included. I see it so clear. And our job is to press in like we've never even started. Press in like at the beginning, when you first heard this message. Like Dave says, when you were ready to charge hell with a water pistol. Many of us did. Many of us have singed eyebrows. But that's no reason to back off and coast. See? It's going to take some hard decisions sometimes. Because where he's taking us, I'm telling you, our flesh is not willing to go. It will not go willingly. It's going to have to be dragged like a dead corpse behind you. Did I say that clear enough? That flesh is going to have to be drugged like a dead corpse, because it's never, never, never going to agree and say, yeah, that's a good place. We should go there. Never going to agree to it at all. The only place for the flesh is the cross. And the only purpose of the cross is death. Now, it's interesting. The reason I'm bringing that up about self-exaltation, that's at the beginning of chapter 14. Do you love the laws of meditation? Well, continuing right on, come on over to verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and he said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, now get this, yes, and his own life also, he cannot, boy, that's hard. He cannot be my disciple. Now, he didn't say you couldn't be saved. I know lots of people that's going to be in heaven, like the thief on the cross, who never had the opportunity to become his disciple. We're talking about two different things here. But at this church, you're not here just for fire insurance to barely make. You're not here so we can babysit you into heaven. You're here because you want to be his disciple. Well, he says, you're going to have to come to the place where you hate your own life also. God, I didn't know what that meant for years. I'm knowing better now. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So there it is. Get that picture again. Yeah. We're not going to go where he's calling us without... I hope you get that picture of dragging a dead corpse behind you. That's got to be the picture of the flesh. It has to become so dead. It's not going to cooperate. If you're waiting on your flesh to want to fast, if you're waiting on your flesh to want to pray, if you're waiting on your flesh to give to this church or wherever he says give, your flesh is not going to agree with that unless there's self-promotion out of it. That's why he says in another place, when you fast, don't let people know. When you give, don't let people know. When you pray, don't let people know. Now, the flesh is willing to do those things if it can get recognition and glory. His own life also. Now, at one of the recent teachings I did that example of the from the hula hoop message. I hate to keep referencing that partly because I know a lot of people probably haven't heard it and it sounds funny. Hula hoop message. The title of the message is Higher Thoughts and Higher Ways. You can find it at all the websites. But in that vision, remember I had Mike Quitmire come up and he was the earthlander. He was an earthlander, see? And so many things are impossible to us, aren't they? So many things. And then here comes Jesus. He's not from earth. His spirit is from God. He's operating from the physics of another world. Man, we watch while he opens blind eyes and opens deaf ears and walks across water and turns water into wine. No man ever spoke like this man. No man ever did things like this, you know. And then he says to us, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do. And then it's like he disappears and we're going, what? But what we didn't realize was coming was at the new birth. Remember, I had the red was up here. He represented God, barefooted God. Remember, he didn't have shoes on that day. Barefooted God up here. And Mike Quitmire representing earthlanders. We were quickened together with him, raised up together with him, seated together in him. Remember, I had him come up the steps and he's right here with God. His spirit gets born again, but not the soul. Now his spirit is fully equipped because the verse we taught that day was in Ephesians 1 where it says, God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Your inheritance, okay, I'm going to say it this way and get thrown out. Your inheritance is the same as Jesus. That's what he meant. All that the Father has is mine, Jesus said. Therefore, said I, the Holy Spirit will take of mine and show it unto you. Why? Because we have been made joint heirs with Christ. We are on the same mission to accomplish the same purpose, except none of us are the spotless lamb. But we are to go about like Acts 10:38, how God anointed the prayer center with the Holy Ghost and with power. And they all went about doing good in the name of Jesus, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with them. See, our minds have to be renewed now. We are a spirit from another world, but we have a soul from this world. But that soul, God made it to have capacity to understand the things of God, but it has to receive it in reverse order. Normally, to learn things on this planet, we learn through the sense gates, the natural eye, the natural ear. You go to college and they draw on the blackboard and they talk to you and you see things. And even younger than that, your hand touches the hot stove and there's an instant tutoring. Pain is a wonderful teacher. Do not put your hand on anything hot. You learn that real quick, see? And it all comes pretty much externally to the inside. But you cannot learn the things of God that way. 1 Corinthians 2 says, no, the things of God, he had to give you a spirit which is of God. We have not the spirit which is of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The natural mind, the natural man can't know these things, for they are spiritually discerned. So he gave us a spirit on the inside of us that it has a mind, and it can be taught directly by the Holy Ghost how to function, how to bring the physics of the kingdom of God to a fallen world. That's exactly where he has the prayer center right now. If you're part of this, you too. But we're going to have to leave natural thinking in the dust. We're going to have to drag our flesh into revival like a dead corpse. Our mind has to become the servant of our spirit. Just like, don't lose that image, Jesus walking up to the Sea of Galilee in the dark with the waves and the wind boisterous. You know his mind said, this is crazy, we're going to die. Don't you step out there. But his spirit had been trained. He knew what to do. Step out on it. If God says walk on the water, bless God, we can walk on the water. Amen. God says we can open blind eyes, we can open blind eyes. See? Now, that word there where it says, are you still in Luke 14? Where it says, yea, and his own life. Also, that life he's talking about, again, going back to that vision where Mike Quitmire had him walk, he was a man of the earth. His spirit ascended in Christ. He was born again. Then his spirit goes back and he's a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, what he's saying is don't ever go back to that old life. Don't ever start thinking you're an earthlander again. That's the life, right? That kind of thinking, that kind of reasoning will never function in the power of God. Amen? You see it? Now, when Jesus could have chosen a lot of different words. The word he chose here when it says, and his own life also, is the Greek word psuche. P-S-U-C-H-E. What do you reckon our modern word for that is? Psychology. He is talking about all of that part of us where we would normally talk about psychology. It's more than knowledge, isn't it? It's emotions, it's memories, it's impressions, it's how you feel about yourself. It's a lot. He says, you're going to have to hate that rascal. That part of you that keeps telling you something different than what the Word of God says you are, hate that part. Hate it. Don't listen to it. Don't put up with it. It's trying to be Lord of your life and tell you what's possible. And only God's able to tell you what's possible. Listen to God. Listen to your spirit. Hate not his own psychology. I'm tired of my mind telling me what, even telling me who I am. Do you know my mind sometimes at night replays all the failures of my life? It hardly ever replays the successes. I've wondered about that in the past. Am I the only one? I'll wake up and I think, oh yeah, I failed at that, and I failed at that, and I made that mistake over there, and I made... Now, my Bible says that when God saved me, he remembers my sins no more. So who is that? I think the devil kept a scrapbook. He went to Kinko's, and he made a duplicate of all my memories that God forgot. And he's got them in some kind of album and he replays them in my mind at night or something. Or maybe it's just my mind. I don't know. But it's amazing. I don't hardly ever remember waking up going, boy, I just dreamed all night about every success I ever had. Maybe there's people like that. With me, it's like every failure, every sin, every mistake. Well, what's going on there? That is my psychology. Trying to keep me believing that I am still that same old sinner, just saved by grace. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. You were an old sinner. You got saved by grace. Now you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You are the offspring of the living God. As he is, so are we in this world. Now we are called the sons of the living God, who always causes us to triumph. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The works that I do shall you do also. See, that's the thinking of God. That is God's psychology. And we've got to hate that old psychology. Now, I heard a sentence and then I had to find the scripture. When you pray, God will, he'll mess with you. You know, God likes to mess with you. He does. I think he enjoys it. I heard this sentence one time. I didn't know what in the world. I saw it like this. Love, death equals love, old life. Love, death equals love, old life. And I knew it had to do with that Luke 14 verses 26 through 27. I knew it had to do with that, but it was a long time. Did I tell you put a marker in Proverbs 8? Okay, go to Proverbs 8. I hope I did too. I did. All right. Now, the way this is worded in Proverbs, and now Proverbs, you have to read it two ways. Proverbs was literally for them under the old covenant, dead in their spirit. And they, do you think they needed to listen to the wisdom of God? Absolutely. But it's also very prophetic. See, everything it says was, everything in the Old Testament was written for our admonition. It was written as examples unto us, okay? Now, wisdom here, normally when you read this, I didn't get it for years. The real application for us, where we're going now. See, I remember when I read this with the thought in mind, I wanted to be a gospel entrepreneur. The book of Proverbs is a really good book to assimilate. If you want to be a gospel entrepreneur, if you want to be a good husband, if you want to be a good wife, if you want to be a good lot of things, Proverbs is a really good book. But now, only recently, which to me might mean within the last 5-10 years, as I get older, I don't know, last few years, suddenly Proverbs is coming alive again in a way that I never understood it before, as we're going to cross over into this kingdom realm. Now, what I want you to do is every time you see the word wisdom here, think mind of Christ. And I can show you, we can do that from this passage here. Let's see. Well, we'll just get to it as we go through it. What he's asked for us to believe now is go beyond the natural realms. You got to understand everything that is. John chapter 1. All things were created by him. Without him, the Word was nothing made that was made. Not one single thing. His wisdom created everything in the first place. I like to say it this way. The reason everything will yield to the Word of God is because at its core, it is the Word of God. Everything is created by him. Nothing was made without him. No, not one single thing. Okay. So does not wisdom cry? Does not the mind of Christ and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way, in the places of the past. She cries at the gates, at the entrance of the city. By the way, you are the city. Your heart is the gate. At the coming in at the doors. Yes, sir. I'll do that. Let's go to the end first. How many was here the night that I taught about keeping your ear at the post of his door? You remember that? And that all? Did you know that's in this chapter? Look at verse 34, verse 33, verse 32. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O you children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, waiting daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Man, this is prophetic speaking of us, listening for that mind of Christ every day, every day. This is John 5:30. I do nothing of myself. What I hear, that's what I do. As the voice comes to me, so I render a decision, that type of thing. He's talking about listening at the posts of the door. Well, who is the master? It's Jesus. This is more than just the written word. Our Lord is alive and well. He is able to lead us every day, and we have the capacity to hear his voice. But now notice, okay, now with that thinking in mind, we'll back up here a little bit. Verse 3, she crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple, talking to Gary now, Understand wisdom, you fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. My mouth shall speak truth. Now think of this, not like you always have before. Think of this when he's, okay, oh Lord, that one. It starts like, maybe it starts like this. Remember I was in Ocala 2 years ago? And I'm standing in a prayer line like I've done hundreds of times before. About to pray a Gary prayer for this lady. Didn't even know what was wrong with her. Nice little genteel Southern Belle lady, about 70 years old, snow white hair, immaculately dressed, shorter than me, you know. This is a nice little lady. And I'm about to pray for her. And a voice came through the doorpost. I heard it on the inside as clear as you're hearing me right now. Stick your finger in her mouth. My soul had other wisdom. What? I'm not going to put my finger in this lady's mouth. I'm not even sure. I don't remember if I washed my hands. I don't remember. All this reasoning immediately comes to your mind. Step out on the water. It's dark. The winds are contrary. I'm not going to do that. Put my finger in this lady's mouth? No, God, no, God. Nobody does that. Put your finger in her mouth. I said, you want me to obey God? She has no idea what he's saying to me. Oh, absolutely, brother. Obey God. Boing. Put my finger in her mouth. And I'd love to tell you that liquid sunshine poured through the ceiling. That I heard Gabriel's trumpet in the brush of an angel's wing at that moment. I'd love to tell you that. You know what happened? Nothing. Nothing at all. I didn't feel nothing. She didn't. Her eyes got big. She was real nice. She was real nice. Nothing happened that I know. I didn't hear anything. I said, thank you. And I went on to the next person. What did it say there? He says, my mouth shall speak truth is what brought this on. He had a plan that I didn't know anything about. Now, at the moment, it looked like I totally missed it. I felt like I missed it. She probably felt like I missed it. The whole place probably felt like I missed it. That's okay. She was real nice to me. We always go to IHOP after that service. She was sitting two persons over from me, and she's real nice. And I said, I don't know why. I just trying to obey God. Oh, it's fine. It's fine. You know, and she says, you know, we're eating pancakes, right? She's going, you might want to wipe the lipstick off your finger. I didn't find out till a year later. Going back, she wasn't going to be able to be there because one of her granddaughters was going to graduate from high school that very same night. So she called the pastor. She wanted to make sure the pastor knew to tell me. He said, tell Gary that for years I have had chronic sores in my mouth just all the time. From the night that he put his finger in my mouth and prayed, they've been reduced by like 2/3. Now, I thought they'd be gone altogether. So I said, Lord, was I supposed to swirl? I don't know why 2/3 and not the whole thing. But she was real happy to have it reduced by 2/3, see? But now notice, when he says here, my mouth shall speak truth, we're not supposed to override that with our psychology. We're not supposed to override it with our reasonings. When he says do it, you do it. He said, wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. Now, they are all plain to him that understandeth, boy, and right to them that find knowledge. If you did not hear the 8:30 message this morning, it talks about bringing your soul to the place where he can communicate with you like you're the tent of meeting, like he came down with Moses and spoke to him face to face. But in order for that to happen, the soul has to go through a transformation to where it doesn't argue with him all the time, where it Just whatever he says, yes, sir. That's it. Okay? He says, receive my instruction and not silver. Don't be chasing money your whole life. Chase him. Receive knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find out knowledge of witty inventions. There are things to be discovered that people think, oh, if I'd have lived in the days of Edison, or if I'd have lived in the days of, you know, the Industrial Revolution. There are things to be discovered. We haven't even begun to tap the knowledge of God. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, hate pride and arrogancy, and hate the evil way. And the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel, this is wisdom talking. This is the mind of Christ. He's like, I almost see him on one side of the Sea of Galilee, beckoning to us on the other side. And he's saying, counsel is mine. Sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Don't worry. Come. Step out on the water. Come. See? Quit arguing with me. Quit rejecting my words when I say things to you that seem impossible to you. See? You see, by me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me. Those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. My revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasuries. Now, when I said this next passage is where you can know for sure that this is prophetically speaking of the mind of Christ. Remember, nothing was created without him. You got that? The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was, before the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled and before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. Why is he saying all this? He says, I am not limited to your physical world. I was with him before there was this world that you count as being so true. This world that you count, the things you can touch, the things you can feel, you count that as reality. I was with him before any of that. I am reality. I am that I am. What about that? Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. One time, they were going to arrest him. Remember, they're just going to arrest him. They said, are you him? He goes, I am him. And they go, they all fell down. And he's just saying, I am him, you know, and that just there's enough power in that I am. Whoa. Okay. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. Who is that? That's the mind of Christ. That's him. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Doesn't that sound like a son with his father? Doesn't it? Not that Jesus grew up there. I'm just saying that the imagery he's trying to convey, let us know who this is. Rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now, therefore, boy, this is where he's calling us. Now, therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, children of the Most High God. Blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction. Be wise and refuse it not. Now, I know that I know the that put your finger in her mouth is the beginning of sorrows. What I mean is the beginning of difficulties for my soul. God only knows what's coming. But He's saying, will you come to the place you'll trust me, even though it's beyond your natural reasonings? Don't put your faith in what is. My voice made that. Trust me as being higher than that. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors to hear what Jesus says. Whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. And he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that hate me love death. Do you remember the equation? To love death equals loving your old life. And that's what he's saying here. You're never going to enter into this level of life if you continually hang on to that old life of natural reasonings. You'll never be able to do it. He said it this way over here. You got to hate even your own life also. Even your own psyche also. Even your own natural psychological reasonings. You got to hate that. You got to trust Him more and love His life. We are going into revival. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of that? Praise God. I'm excited about what's coming. Hallelujah. Someone says, Gary, you're losing your mind. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I want to lose my mind and gain His. I'm so tired of my mind telling me what's possible and what the plan is. I could care less about my mind's plan. I want His plan. I want His plan. His plan and His alone. Oh, Father, I thank You. I feel Your release. I feel Your pleasure. I think we delivered what You wanted this morning, Lord. Father, we're so excited. Father, I see, yes. Father, we lift up Alan Taylor to You right now. I know he's ministering in Brazil. I don't know exactly when he's coming back, but I see his face. Father, we're praying for his protection, a safe arrival back. Father, we're thanking You for angels that have been sent forth by You to prepare his way. Father, he'll be restored to us perfectly. In Jesus' name, yes, sir. Father, we continue to lift up Pastor Dave and Rosalie. Father, we thank You for healing and restoring and comforting and encouraging and showing them the brightness of Your future, what You have for them, Father. Father, we thank You. We are in revival. We are in revival. We declare it so in Jesus' name. Amen.